Miss Hope. Hope. That's when I started praying, Lord, make me different. Make me the kind of man who's marked by joy and hope. And as God did that work in me, he was molding and shaping me. I also had to work hard to change my mental grooves off of those, like, the darkness that I just kind of would run to. And instead, to focus on whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy. And then the end of that story is it was my sunny disposition and my tireless hopefulness that drew Anna to me. So it all worked out. So. But if you know the truth, and Anna will bear this up, like, I continue to slide into that darkness. That's just part of who I am. And she's had to walk me through a lot of those seasons. But here's the point for us, right? Verse 8 describes Jesus's mental landscape. And he would have you trace his footsteps after him into that wholeness that you are made for, into the wholeness that God made you for. And friend, as hard as it may feel, when you are caught in your dark mental ruts, your mind, your thoughts, they're made for this. They're made for what is true and honorable and just. Okay, so how? Right? Like, what does this look like in our lives? How do we develop this kind of focus in our thinking? All right, so first and just most broadly, I just encourage us as God's people to look for what is true and honorable and so forth in God's world, right? Because here's what I think. I think we Christians so often, we keenly feel that disconnect between what we know God made this world for and what we know he's going to remake it into, right? And then we just look at the sin corruption around us of this world. That's where we mourn. That's where we grieve. And then we tend to focus on that, right? And it is good and right to grieve the sin corruption that we see around us. But here's what's even more true than the darkness that you see and that you may feel. God is at work. God is at work bringing truth and honor and justice and all these things that we were talking about into this dark world. He always, always, always wins over darkness. And let that be what buttresses your mind. He is more powerful than darkness. So don't let your mourning of this present darkness, even though that's important, don't let that turn your focus away from the good that your Lord is doing. Focus on him and what he is doing. So that's the first thing. Focus on, train your mind to think these thoughts about God's world. And then, we've talked about this several times, so I'm not going to hammer it, but train your mind to think this way about your siblings in Jesus, right? Because again, it is easy for us to focus on the remaining sinful corruption that's left in your siblings in Christ, and that can be what consumes your mind. But instead, I encourage you to think about how is God working, what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, into the lives of your siblings in Christ. So let's let this shape how we look at each other. And then finally, shape how we see God's world, shape how we see one another. Finally, here's the thing. Let's focus on Christ, right? Because friend, is there anyone, any one place to focus our eyes where all these virtues cluster together in such sparkling beauty? It's in Jesus. So, Christian, let's fill our eyes with him. He is truth. He is honor and justice, purity and loveliness in the flesh. There is nothing and no one more commendable, more excellent, more deserving of praise than he is. And he embodies everything that he would have us focus our eyes on and our minds on. And here's the beauty. As we focus on him, we find ourselves more and more changed so that we do think his thoughts after him, so that we do see his world and his people the way he does. So Christian, the invitation again, spend time with him. It is hard in our busy, chaotic world to find space to spend time with our God. And yet this is probably one of the most important things that we do. So I encourage you, work hard. to find that space to saturate your mind with Him through prayer and time in His Word, like Drew encouraged us earlier. But then the next step after that, like, live your daily life, coram Deo, before the face of God. Live your daily life in His presence, bringing Him those daily questions that crop up as you live your life, praising Him for all those daily gifts that He gives you throughout your day. Train yourself to see those gifts. Just think about this. What kind of church might Ironworks Church be if this was us? If we were this community training our minds and our focuses on the Lord this way? How might it radically change the way, how might this radically change our focus and our lives if we were focused on Jesus this way? And if you're like me, maybe you're looking at that and you say, yeah, that sounds great and impossible. How do we do this? All right. I can imagine that's probably what the Philippians thought, too. That sounds great, Paul. Is it possible? What's it look like to put this into practice? Well, that's our second point. See, Paul, as he's done all through this letter, he offers himself as a model to the Philippians. He's modeling how this kind of focus plays itself out in his own life, how he puts it into practice. Read verse 9. He says, "What you have seen, or what you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Practice these things." All right. That's not Paul being arrogant. Okay. Paul himself had to learn what it looks like to live this kind of life. The model that he was passing on to his friends, that life that he was inviting his friends into to practice, that was something he had to learn. Something he learned, received, heard, saw, first in Jesus, but then also in his followers. And Paul very happily admits he didn't have this thing down. You guys remember that from just a couple sermons ago, Pastor Ramon preached for us from Romans chapter 3, or not Romans, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul admitted, I fall short of this, right? But he invited his friends into pursuing what he was doing, practicing these things, not being perfect at them, practicing them. Christian, let me ask you, do you ever feel stuck in your walk? Do you ever feel like you're not sure what it looks like to put Jesus' way into practice in your particular circumstance? Because if you do, your God understands that. You know what part of the answer is that He gives you? He gives you models. He gives you models for you. Do you have those in your life? Note I said models, not idols. Okay? Models, not idols. Because anymore in our American public sphere, especially in like our pop Christianity, we have plenty of idols. We have folks who invite us to worship them, to buy all their stuff, right? But we don't really do the modeling thing anymore. See, an idol is something that you worship, something that you thoughtlessly obey. But a model sets a general life pattern for you. Something that you want to imitate. You learn from them, recognizing they're fallible human beings, right? They're going to make mistakes, but they are faithfully living out the kind of virtues that you'd like to see played out in your own life. So let me ask you, do you have any models? Do you have anybody in your life that shows you what it looks like to faithfully follow after Jesus in the 21st century the way Paul did in the first century? Because if you don't, it's a good thing to have. Now, obviously, the best models, and they're not idols. Again, they're the ones that the Lord Himself gives us in His Word. Again, remember, these are flawed women and men. But the Lord gives them and their words and their examples to us so that we can learn from them. Ultimate model of all this, obviously, being Jesus, right? Who is the only one who is not flawed. But it's good to have living models, too. Wise men and wise women who can talk to you about what it looks like to set up a Christian rhythm in your life when the rhythm of this world runs counter to so much of what we live against or live for. Let me just tell you this. I want to encourage you, Ironworks Church. The Lord has blessed this church with a lot of faithful people who are modeling Jesus. So let me just ask you, who here, who in this church is chasing after Jesus? Maybe talk to them about that. Okay? Friends, that's what discipleship's all about. It's about focusing on Jesus, walking with Jesus, getting to know him and patterning our lives after him. That's the discipleship model that Jesus put his 12 apostles through. It was the, hey, come hang out with me. Spend day in and day out with me. Get to know me and my ways. It's the pattern that Jesus passed on to his disciples, that they passed on to further disciples, and so forth. Right? It's that pattern. So when Paul talks about in verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received from me. That word received is the Greek word paralambano. And biblical scholars will point out that Paul often uses this word as a technical term for the tradition passed on from Jesus to his followers to and continuing. But this isn't just something that's meant to shape your mind. Discipleship is something that's meant to shape all of you. Pastor Roman pointed this out to us as we were studying this passage in staff meeting. But so often we Christians today, we can tend to think about discipleship mostly in terms of the mind. What can you learn? What do we stuff our brains with about Jesus? But do you see, when Paul offers a model to the Philippians, what do you notice? What you have learned, what you have received, what you have heard, what you have seen. Mind, hands, ears, eyes. The idea behind this being like discipleship is holistic. It involves all your life. Discipleship is your life in all of its wholeness, focused on Jesus in all of his wholeness, right? So here's what this means for us. I think this is just important, especially because we're, if you're here at Ironworks Church, you're probably inclined toward Presbyterianism, and we Presbyterians can get locked in our heads. So just a word of warning for us, okay? If you claim that you are Jesus' disciple, that you are following him as your Lord, but the only thing that's changed about you is that you like to read and debate theology, then I think we need to ask, like, are we truly, fully Christians? Right? Because focusing on Jesus and truly having our mind shaped by him means your whole life is going to be shaped by him. See, his Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of you, loves Jesus and wants to see you look more and more like Jesus. So he's going to shape. He's going to shape your loves to match Jesus' loves. He's going to shape your priorities to match Jesus' priorities. He's going to shape your values and your outlook on life to match Jesus' values and outlook. So guess what that affects? Everything. It affects everything about... It affects when and how you rest. It affects what you do with your finances, how you come at your job, what you see as your purpose for your family. It affects the life that you live in front of your neighbors. It affects how you think about the hurting. It affects how you respond to wrongdoing, both inside of yourself, but then the wrongdoing you see outside too. So if your Christianity only exists in your head or like in some small compartmentalized part of yourself, and you got to ask, am I really a disciple of Jesus, indwelt by his powerful, life-renewing spirit? Hey, here's good news for you, though. If that's you, if you found yourself trapped in your head and just doing the Jesus thing up here, here's good news. If you cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, refocus me. Refocus my life. Send your spirit to actually truly shape all of me. To shape not just my mind, but who I am. To shape me after Jesus. He delights to hear that prayer. The Lord delights that. So cry out to him. And if you are a true disciple of Jesus, who's seeing his Holy Spirit at work in your life, shaping you, just think about this. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that the Lord is working to bring renewal to all of your sin-corrupted self? That he doesn't leave anything out in his discipleship program for you, but he is committed to seeing you fully renewed. And for Christian, it's because of Jesus' commitment to refocus you and to make you whole, that you can rest. That's our third point. You can rest. I want you to look at Paul's words at the tail end of verse 9. Practice these things, and the God of peace, wholeness, rest, shalom, will be with you. So maybe you're asking the question, well, is Paul saying there that if I live this kind of focused life with my actions focused on Jesus and practice focused on his ways, if I do that, then God will be with me and give me his peace? Hey, if you've been with us through this whole letter, or you've even just read some of Paul in general, you know that Paul doesn't say stuff like that, right? Because he knew from his own personal experience, as well as like everything else that is in Scripture, God doesn't come to us because we're good. He comes to us to make us good. He comes to the broken to fix us. He comes to the unfocused to focus us. He comes to the bound to unbind us. He comes to the restless to give us his rest, his peace, his wholeness. So the only reason we actually begin to focus our thinking and our practice on Jesus in the first place is because Jesus is the one who came to us in our warfare against him. And he pays for the consequence of our rebellion against him so that he can make peace with us. And now that the bombs have stopped falling, he starts his reconstruction plan. Having made peace with us, he now starts that grand work of restoring us and refocusing us. So if you find yourself able to refocus, as Paul says, to think about and to practice these things, it's because the God of peace already is with you and will continue to be at work in you. And all that being true, it's also true that doing life the way that God made you to do it, the way he designed you, it puts you in better sync with God, with yourself, with others, with God's created order, the way that he made things to be. Right? It looks more like the rest that you were made for. Hey, not saying that become a Christian and all your life problems will be solved. You know that's not true. If you've done any kind of walking with Jesus, you know that, no, life can still be hard. But let me just point you back to Cynical Kent back in college, right? Cynical Kent, he had a dour view of God, kind of a distant view of God. I plunged myself into depression. I drove others away. I missed out on the beauty and the potential all around me. But then Jesus used my friend to refocus me. And to start that process of renewing my mind, the work that the Lord did, and it changed. Changed how I saw God. Changed how I saw myself and did life with God and myself and others in God's created world order. It's a better life. It's a better life. It's not a perfectly restored life, but it is a better life. Doing life God's way is better. Christian, here's the piece that I want to leave you with, okay? As we leave today, here's the piece and the rest I want you to leave with. Paul does call us to take action. It's part of being a Christian. You walk after Jesus. It's an active life. He calls us to think and to practice, to live out a Jesus-saturated life, okay? To actively participate in that great refocusing work that the Lord is doing. But remember this. Ultimately, God is the one doing the work. God is doing that work. Hey, do you want to see your thoughts filled with what we just read here? Would you like this to be you? To be filled with what is true and honorable, just, pure and lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy? Guess what? God wants this for you too. That's what he made you for. Hey, do you want to follow hard after Jesus as his disciple? Do you want to model your life after him? Do you want to put into practice what you've learned and received, heard, and seen from Jesus and from those who imitate him? Guess what? Your God wants this for you too, even more than you do. And so, Christian, even as, yes, you actively think and put into practice and chase after Jesus, You do it from a place of rest. Because this will be you. This will be you. You can rest knowing that Jesus is more committed to your wholeness than even you are. You can rest knowing that the God of peace, who is with you now, will continue to be with you come what may. And whatever does come, it will only be a tool in the hands of this God of peace to bring into focus for you Jesus' thoughts and Jesus' practice, so that your own thoughts and your own practice will come to be more tightly focused on Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we are an unfocused people. Father, I'm unfocused. There are so many distractions in and around us, and then we look at a passage like this and we say, that is beautiful, but how? Lord, that only works because your Spirit is at work in us, teaching us what it looks like to think pure thoughts, to live out a life of purity and truth and honor and justice, things that are to live into what is lovely and excellent, praiseworthy. Father, I pray for my sisters and my brothers here. I ask that you would send us out into your world so that this world might see all these, a picture of what you have made us for, what you have rescued us for in Jesus. Let us look more and more like our Jesus, we pray. And Lord, only you can do this. So we ask that you would send your Spirit to do that work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.